All right, if you got your Bibles this evening, I want to preach you another message on the church. I just feel like that's something I want to preach on, and I feel like that's something maybe off and on I'm going to be preaching on here, there, and yonder, because I think it's important. The church is important. If it's important to God, it ought to be important to us. So I think we need to really take some time to stop and just pay attention to some things that's in the church. I mean, we've talked about the things that the world turns against the church and the church turns against itself, and we went through some things, and I want to kind of go on the other end of that tonight. I mean, a lot of people all the time have got something to say about what's wrong with the church. But by the help of the Lord tonight, I want to help you see some things that's right with the church. If you got your Bible, come with me to Ephesians chapter 5. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture comparing the love of God for the church to that of a husband for his wife, and the relationship from the church to the Lord is the same. Y'all excuse me for just a second. Pardon me. My throat don't want to quit tickling tonight. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, please stand with me. I haven't had you stand in a service or two, so let's stand this evening. Honor the reading of the Word of God. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives." Now here's my text. This is my text right here. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for it." Now, Father, if you would, please help us tonight. As we endeavor to preach what you've laid on our heart, may it come forth. And, Lord, may it shine the brighter. May it give us a clear view and a clarity of mind about what your view of the church is. And, Lord, we sure do appreciate you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for those that are here tonight. And may you help us now. Give us strength in our bodies. And, Lord, look past our insufficiencies. Just help us. Give us power from on high. And set the guard of watch before our lips that we say nothing contrary to your word or will. And we'll bless you and thank you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say, number one, I'm glad Jesus loves the church. I say I'm glad Jesus loves the church, and I say that because I'm in the church. And I'm glad that he loves me, and the fact that he loves me is because I'm in him and he's in me. And I'm glad to know tonight that there are some things, even though the world has got all this negative view, and even the church has a negative view of itself sometimes, I'm glad to know that even though there are plenty of faults, and let's be honest, there are plenty of things in the church that people can look at and say, this is wrong with the church, this is wrong with the church. I mean, good Lord, you nitpick something long enough, you're going to find some faults. I mean, let's be honest here. We ain't a perfect bunch. We're not a perfect bunch as individuals. We ain't perfect as a group. But the only thing that we have that is perfect is the one that lives within us. And he is perfect. And I want to tell you tonight that even with all the negativity that's going around about the body of Christ, I want to tell you that just because there's a lot of negative things about it, don't mean that there ain't the right thing about it and the Lord ain't got the right thing set up about it. And I want to tell you tonight that there's a need in this world for the local church. And there's a need in this community for a local assembly of people that are still doing the best they can, even though the world's looking down at them, the devil's putting them under pressure, and even the members of the body of Christ are looking at each other. I'm going to tell you, I've listened to it until I just get absolutely fed up with it. But I listen. I mean, it's a small town, folks. You know how small town people are. You know how that one thing's said in one area, and by the time it gets to another area, it's completely twisted and completely wrong. But I want to tell you something that I've learned, and I've learned this in the few years that I've been in the pastorate, is I've learned that you can't get church people to shut their mouth about each other. You cannot get get people to quit talking about one another. You can't get people to leave each other alone and tend to their own business. Can I say this, that if you got your eyes off of Jesus long enough to see the fault in somebody else, you've had your eyes off Jesus too long? Can I say this tonight, that if you've got too many thoughts about what's wrong with somebody else, you ain't paying attention to your own paper, amen? Isn't that what they used to tell you in school? Whenever you sit down and take a test, they'd say, turn the test over and put your name on the back. Keep your eyes on your own papers, what they used to tell you. I tell a lot of Christians do for that, a little bit of advice. And they could just, they'd do them a world of good. Body of Christ may not be in a shape it's in, had people just kept their eyes on their own paper, quit worrying about what somebody else is doing. I want to say, first of all, some things that are right with the church, and I'm going to give you a bunch of C's. I don't know why. I'm feeling poetic tonight, so I'm going to give you a bunch of C's. But I want to say, first of all, one of the things that's right about the church is it channels our concentration. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, the body of Christ sits in the house of God, and they sit under the preached word, and there's just something about that book, man, that just puts you and me under the microscope, and it brings everything that we thought was in darkness to light. It brings everything that we thought was hidden, even things we may have been ignorant to, it brings it right to the surface so we can see exactly what's going on between us and God. And whenever it does, then you've got the opportunity to either get it right or brush it to the side and act like nothing ever happened. I want to tell you tonight that that's something that's right with the church, and you ought to thank God that you can come to a place where if there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, Holy Ghost of God can illuminate that thing and bring it right out there in front of you. I didn't say He illuminated it to the entire church, but He'll illuminate it to you, and He'll illuminate it to you on a personal level where there's no mistake that it's God that's telling you about it. That way you can't blame the preacher, and you can't blame the deacons, and you can't blame the people that's in the house of God. There ain't but one person to blame, and you put your makeup on and you shave their face every day when you look in the mirror. And that's the only person. That's something right with the church. It channels your concentration to where the concentration is on you and God. Yet, however, I don't understand why it is that we can still come and sit down and hear a message preached and in our minds say, boy, preacher, I sure know some people could have used that one. Preacher, I know some people that would have really benefited from that message. Instead, you know, I hear them say that before I hear them say, brother, that did something to me. I'll hear them say, brother, that message did something for me. I won't hear that before I hear, brother, I know a lot of people needs to hear that one. I know a time or two I've went to churches and preached, and when I got done, they said, we only got one thing we regret about that preaching service. I said, what's that? They said, we didn't record it. We know some people could have hurt you that. My first thought is, what did you do with it? You're here. What are you worried about the people that ain't here for? You're here. If God knew that you needed it, He put it on your heart to be here. You're here. So obviously, if you're here, whatever's coming from the pulpit is something you need tonight. Amen. Quit worrying about them people out there. One of the things right with the church, it channels your concentration to where you can fixate your focal point on your relationship with the Lord and on your walk with Jesus Christ and on your fellowship with the brethren, and you don't have to base it upon whether or not this one's doing right or that one's doing right or that one's doing right. The Bible says that if you compare yourself among yourselves, you're not wise. How are you supposed to compare yourself to Him? You ain't trying to, I'm not trying to compare myself to Brother Candler or Brother Bill or Brother Eddie, these men that are sitting in his church tonight. Max, he's not quite got to manhood yet, but Max don't need to be trying to fashion himself to fit me. He don't need to fashion himself to fit anybody. He needs to try to fashion himself to fit the mold of Jesus Christ and try to be conformed to His image. Now listen, you're already naturally going to be conformed to the image of those that came before you. It takes work and it takes effort to conform yourself to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and make yourself shine just like He does, to radiate His righteousness and not your own righteousness. And there's only one way that's going to happen. You're going to have to expose expose yourself to the local church so that God can channel your concentration on what's going on in your life and get that thing right. That's how that works. That's one thing that's right with the local church. I got seven things. I hope I get to all of them. Hey, listen, they were making comment this morning. Man, preacher's really been getting them short messages. So I don't even know if he reached 30 minutes this morning. You may be sorry you said that. I'm liable to sit down here for about an hour and 20. Eddie told me a couple weeks ago he disappointed in me. He said you got to an hour and 19 and 50 some odd seconds. If you'd have went 8 more seconds, you'd have had higher than 20 minutes. Say some of y'all think a preacher's been getting short-winded. No, he just been giving you a little reprieve. You just don't know what's coming in 2020. You vision going to clear up real good. Boy, that's a message right there. Getting the right kind of vision in 2020. I wonder how many guys are going to preach on that. I mean, good Lord, a baby could come up with that one. I want to give you this one too. Number two, I want to say this. It constricts your carnality. See, it channels your concentration so that you can see what's manifested before your eyes that God illuminates. But I also want to say that it constricts the carnality and applies pressure to you. What pressure? What are you talking about? Well, listen, we've got a final authority in this church, correct? Amen. And the final authority is not me. It's not these men right here. And it's not anybody else in the walls of this church. I don't care. Do we have anybody here? And I doubt it, but is anybody here a charter member of this church? Was anybody in here's family a charter member of this church? So nobody in here had family or anything that was a charter member of this church. Well, that's what I mean. Anybody. I don't care who they are. All right, so you've got, okay, so we got one person in here with some family that was a charter member of Heady Mountain Baptist Church. But can I tell you this? Even then, they weren't the authority. They weren't the authority. A lot of people think they are. A lot of people try to be. I'm glad that ain't an issue here. Let me tell you something, beloved. That's something that I have absolutely no worry about. Whenever I decided, I didn't decide it. When the Lord gave me liberty to accept the pastor of this church, I said, well, I've had y'all come to me, some of y'all come to me and say, we're tired of people in this church saying that there's one family in here that's running this church. And I said, and I've had people come to me and say, well, if they'd quit doing this and they'd quit doing that. And I said, do you go there? Well, no. Have you been there like on a regular basis? And I mean, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That burned me up, man. Somebody talk about my church now. That aggravates me to no end. They say, so-and-so quit doing this, so-and-so quit doing that. I said, do you go there? No. Do you know what goes on inside the walls of that building? Well, no, I don't. I said, then do me a favor and shut up. Amen, listen, I ain't got no qualms whatsoever about telling somebody to stick their big foot in their big mouth and go walk off a short pier, long as you go first. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something, in the 4 years I've been here, I ain't seen one problem that came from somebody thinking that a family was running this church. This ain't a church-run family. I told you from the get-go, I ain't about a church-run, family-run church. Now listen, I know God set up a preacher, and he's supposed to be the head and lead the flock, but I'm telling you, he's got a leader, and that leader's the Holy Spirit of God, and it's the Lord God Almighty, and if he gets out of line with the Lord, he's going to train wreck that church. Say, what do we got here? We got an authority. What is it? It's that book sitting in your lap. That's the authority. If somebody goes contrary to that book, they're either going to not be able to stick around here too long because you know how I am about that book, and they ain't going to be able to handle it. Because why? Because I'm not going to adulterate that word and cloak it and soften it and sugarcoat it for the sake of somebody's feelings to cover up their little two-bit sin. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to do exactly what this book said, and I'm going to give them something that's going to constrict their carnality. It's going to put the pressure on them and make them realize that they need to do right. Amen. And there ain't nothing in this world to help a child of God do right than to get nuzzled in to a local church. Amen. That's the best thing for you. What's the best thing for a child of God? Get yourself implanted in a local church and be there week after week after week after month after year, and let the Holy Ghost of God squeeze that stuff out of you that you don't need. Because I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing to put pressure on you more to live right than staying around God's people. Because getting around a bunch of fire-breathing, crazy, hooping and hollering Baptist people that's born again and love Jesus Christ, it'll do that. That'll do more for you than just lift your spirits. It'll put the pressure on you to want to do right. All right, I want to say next, number three, one of the things that's right about the church, it carries your concern. Now, contrary to some people's opinion, and you know how opinions are, they're like armpits. Everybody got one or two of them. They all stink. I've heard it said another way. Y'all have too. But we're trying to keep this clean up here. But you know, I want to tell you something. Contrary to popular opinion, I want to tell you something. And as much as some people may think it ain't, some people may think it's wrong that it ain't true. Your preacher cares about you. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna tell you that now. Your preacher cares about you, and he loves you. And one of the things that you need to understand about this, about the church, and one of the things that's right about the church, is it carries your concerns. Somebody's got some burden on their heart, something that's going on in their spirit, and they think nobody understands. Boy, let me tell you something. God gave you people for a reason. God gave you people for a reason. He gave you this church for a reason. For you to be able to lean upon it and for you to be able to call on people and to be, I mean, it used to be years ago, the churches all over the county and all over the state would have what they call a prayer chain, and they had a phone number, and every time something came up, this was before we had the whole situation with one call and all like that. By the way, somebody got to remind me, that thing's up for renewal next month. If we don't pay the bill, we ain't going to have it. So anyway, just, you know. We interrupt this message for this brief short announcement. The regularly scheduled broadcast for this short announcement. But I'm telling you, that's what they used to have before they had all this modern technology. So something come up in the community, something come up in the church, and the preacher find out about it. And generally, the preacher's wife would say, "What do you want me to do? Get on the prayer chain." She'd call this one, and this one to call this one, and this one to call this one, and this one to call that one. Within an hour or 2 hours, every woman in the church, every household in the church would have been praying and calling out to God and asking Him to do something in a situation and in some problem that somebody in the church or in the community was a facing. Let me tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with that. That's what this church needs. That's what this community needs. They need to know that there's a place they can come that'll help them carry their concerns and carry them right to the throne of grace and hand them right to Jesus Christ, who's the only one who can do anything about anything they're going through. I want to say this, number four, not only does it carry concern, it constricts carnality, it channels your concentration. But I want to say this, number four, it'll cultivate consistency in your life. Because let me tell you something, beloved, who you are is going to define what you do. Who you are is going to define what you do. So being inside of this local church is going to help you cultivate some consistency in your own life. What do you mean cultivate? I mean tear up some fallow ground, man. I'm talking about them old hard, rugged places in your spirit and in your soul where you can't seem to get the ground soft enough for any fruit to produce out of that particular area in your life. And you've tried, and you've tilled, and you've hoed, and you've plowed, and it seems like every time you turn around, something is growing back over that place in your heart, and you can't seem to keep it soft enough to where the Word of God can bear some seed in there and maybe a little fruit come out of that thing. What's the answer, preacher? Stay in the church. Keep in the local church. It's going to help cultivate that ground. It'll help you stay consistent and constant. Well, remember the very first one? Channel your concentration on that area, and it'll help the Holy Ghost of God keep that thing soft day after day, month after month, week after week. Let me tell you something. It's going to take more than one time a week for you concentrating on that thing. For you to get it cultivated. That's the reason people have problems with being able to keep that ground broke up, because they'll get it broke up on Sunday, but by next Sunday, it's hardened back over again, because they ain't doing out there what they're supposed to be doing in here. And the things that's going on in here don't follow out yonder. So when they get back after the next week, they got the deflated football syndrome. Amen. Come in on a Sunday morning and get the kinks worked out. Come in on Sunday night, pump that baby up where she's ready to play. But by next Sunday, we flat again. Sunday morning, roll around, pump me up, preacher, pump me up. Lord God, you got to pump me up. I'm the leaky football. You can pump me up, but I can't hold air for nothing. Why can't we hold air, boy? We can't get in the church like we ought. And I'm not just talking about physically here. I'm talking about investing. Investing in yourself. Investing yourself into the work of God. Doing something that's worthwhile. Doing something that's eternal, not something temporary. Because I want to tell you something, beloved. There's plenty of things in this life that's going to be a temporary. I'd rather invest in something that's going to last for eternity. Why would you invest in something that's only going to disappear when this world disappears? I'd rather invest in something that's going to carry through right into heaven's gate. All right, next I want to say this. It'll challenge your character. One of the things that's right with the church is it challenges your character. You know, you've got different responsibilities and then you've got different duties. Now, this goes from the pulpit to the back pew. Because there's different responsibilities, different roles that people have responsibilities for. From the preacher in the pulpit, got the responsibility to each and every day of the week, he's calling out to the Lord on behalf of his people. Each and every day, he's praying and asking God to fill him up with what he needs to preach for the next service. And whenever something comes up dealing with one of his church members that he needs to go and help them. Now listen, can I say this to you? That doesn't mean that every time somebody outside of this church gets a problem that the preacher's got to go and be the one to go and see them. Amen. Thank you. Amen. When people inside of this assembly right here have something that's going on and they need some help and they need somebody to be there, that's the preacher's job. He needs to go and be there. Somebody in the community or something like that, yeah, sure, the preacher, go see them. I'll go and see them and talk to them. They may not appreciate me when I'm done. Because you know the first thing I'm going to do to them is I'm going to say, I'm not going to stand there and say, well, bless God, if you'd have been in church like you ought to be, this wouldn't be going on right now. No, that's not what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go to them and I'm going to say, I hope you get better. I'm going to pray for you. But I'm going to pray for you to get, I'm going to pray that the Lord help you get right before he gets you better. Because your spiritual health is a lot more important than your physical health. You can live a perfectly healthy life and bust hell wide open. Or you can be a perfectly healthy person and saved by the grace of God, but you'll walk into heaven's gate and step before the judgment seat of Christ and you'll have an empty hand and nothing to show the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, what's in eternity means more to me than what's going on right here and right now. But everybody got responsibilities. These two men right here, these are my deacons. And these two men have a responsibility that if something comes up in this church that's a need or something comes up that's going on in this church that needs to be took care of, they take care of it. They've done it for years. And I appreciate that out of them. I appreciate their faithfulness to this church for as long as they've done it. And they've got their responsibilities. You know what? Their wives have responsibilities to pray for them and help and ask God to help them to fulfill the offices that they've been given to perform in this church. And then they also pray for me. They pray for me and say, let me tell you something. You have no idea how ridiculous that sounds coming from me because it's hard for me to stand up here and say that two men that are more than twice my age, if not more than that, are sitting here having to pray for me because I'm the leader in this church. Let me tell you how odd that sounds. The youngest man in this church is standing up here in the pulpit preaching to you people. Let me tell you that's something. That ain't easy. Let me tell you, that's not easy to do. But I thank God I got that job. I'm glad I got this responsibility. I love it. But you know, it doesn't just stop there. I've got two Sunday school teachers sitting in here this morning. I know one of them hasn't had much of a class to teach in a long time. And one of them barely has one, if not one or two, every once in a while. But you know what? I still expect them, and God still expects them, to make sure they are prepared should the opportunity come up that, I mean, what happened? What's going to happen one of these days? A door opens up and then floods a busload of kids, you know, because they had a camp up here, had a vacation up here or something. And, hey, we need somewhere to go to church. Oh, yeah, look, sermon audio, Heady Mountain Baptist Church, Independent Fundamental Bible Believing. Fire breathing, let's go. Yeah. And they just, You know what I expect, and you know what God expects, and what's right in this church is that the people who have the role and responsibility of Sunday school teacher are prepared and ready when the opportunity comes and the time comes. I can't prepare messages with expectations of a certain someone or someone's being here. I have to prepare myself to preach to the congregation as a whole, not one person. So the same comes with teachers. Teachers have to prepare whether they have one or 100 or none. They still need to be ready. That's a part of their responsibilities. Now here's one thing I don't do. I don't tell them what they ought to teach. And I don't tell them what they ought to be teaching, and I don't tell them how they ought to teach. I trust them to pray and seek God and ask Him how they ought to teach, and ask Him what they ought to teach on. That's what I expect, and that's what this church expects. And that's what's right with this church, is the fact that there are duties and responsibilities that are going to challenge your character as an individual to not only be what you are here, but to be what you're supposed to be there and at home. It's a challenge to your character because, I'm going to tell you, your character is what's going to determine what you do when you're not here. That's what your character is going to do. Brother Eddie back there, it's his responsibility to know what's going on with all that sound equipment back there because I'm going to tell you, I don't know nothing about it. All I can do is hit play or record, whichever one. It's his responsibility to know what's going on back there. It's his responsibility to make sure that when I strap this thing on of a morning and I hit this button that I don't have to worry about whether or not them batteries are going to die and we lose the recording. He does his job and I appreciate it. But that's his responsibility. You know what it'll do? It'll challenge his character to make sure he does his job. And it'll challenge your character. If you don't have a position in this ain't just for people who have a position in this church. You want me to tell you what else is going to challenge your character? When you don't have a position in this church, when you don't have an office in this church, when you don't do anything more than come in here on a weekly basis, sit down and listen to the preach word, listen to the singing, and enjoy some fellowship in God. But you are praying all week long that God will fill this church with His Spirit and fill the preacher with His power and fill everybody up that we may uplift the name of Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And God honors that because it tests the character of a person. Let me tell you, I told you this morning that sometimes God will call somebody and put them in a position because if He didn't, that person wouldn't be able to stay out of trouble. But it's the true test of a person's character when they don't have something that's a constant demand on their time spiritually and they still continue to serve faithfully. It's a challenge to your character. I'll say this too, and I've only got two more. It clarifies your cause, makes it clear to you. I mean, we're here for a reason, are we not? This church is here for a purpose. It's here for a reason. Number one, first and foremost, we're here to worship and uplift and glorify the name of God Almighty and Jesus Christ. We're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's number one on the priority list. If I be lifted up, He said, I'll draw all men unto me. And I want to tell you, that's got to be our first priority. If we come in here and that ain't the first priority, it's all going to be in vain. We need God to breathe upon us, and the only way He breathes is when He inhabits the praises of His people. And that's how He does it. But I also want to say that number two, one of the things we need to be clear on is the fact that the church is to evangelize sinners. Amen. Because there's people that need the preaching. There's people that need the touch from God in their lives. There's people that need the correction, and they need the discipline, and they need the shock to their system that's going to show them you're not doing right, you're not living right, and you need to get this straightened out. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Just because we're here every time the doors are open, and just because we've got our spot in this church and we're here every time we're supposed to be, does not mean we walk out the door and we're just like we ought to be all week long. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. It ain't going to always be the easiest thing in the world to maintain that Christian character that you're supposed to maintain on a constant basis. So what it does is it makes it clarifies your cause, and you understand that this place is here for a reason, and the reason it's here is number one, to glorify God, but number two, it's to help people see that they've got a need in their life. But also, we're here to see sinners saved. That's what we want to see. We're here because we want to see sinners get saved. And I thank God for the ones that we've got to see saved in the last little while. I thank God for the people that we've got to see come to know Jesus Christ, either in this church or through this church. And what a blessing that has been. Thank the Lord so much for all that He's done. And lastly, I'm going to say this and I'll be done. I told you I was going to give you a long one. I don't even think I've gone. How long I gone, brother? Y'all just don't know it. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Lastly, I'm going to say this and I'll close it up. One of the things that's right about the church, it cheers the comrades. Well, let me back up just for a second about the clarifying the cause. You're here for a reason. And this just come in also, but being this time of year, I'll put this one in there. You're only here for a season. You're only here for a certain amount of time. You better make sure the time you got is the time you made. The time that you have is what you're making it count. You need to make sure that the time that you've got here, you're making sure that it counts. That we don't waste it. Because it's just a vapor. It appears for a while and it vanishes away. I've been getting notifications and calls and texts and I see people in town. Me and Heather stopped over here at the gas station on the way down. And as I was standing there at the counter waiting to pay, a guy that I know from the community stepped up to me and he said, "Hey, did you hear about my uncle?" And I said, "No, what about him?" He said, "He passed." I said, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, he passed." He said, "He had cancer." And I said, "I didn't even know he had cancer." He said, "Nobody did." Said he found out, and within a short time, he was gone. No chances for treatment. No opportunities for consultations. Diagnosis, cemetery. You know what worried me about that? I don't think that man was saved. I don't think he was. Not only is it clarifies your cause and help you realize that you're here for a reason, but it also helps you to realize you're only here for a season. You better make your impact while you can make it. You better make your mark while you can make it, and that mark better not be, you know. I know y'all have had great preachers in this church and pastor this church. I have no doubt. But the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to walk in here and just be somebody else that steps in this pulpit and on this pulpit writes, "Josh Holden was here." Right alongside, "Johnny Norris was here." And Burles Powell was here. And so on and so forth. And all the others that have been here over the years. I don't want to just make a mark like that. That ain't the kind of mark I'm talking about. I'm talking about one that from the years down the road, whether by my removal by the Lord Himself or by the death and my burial, somebody down the road says, "Boy, you remember that time when old preacher Josh preached that message? You remember that time whenever we had this and this and this take place?" That's the impact that you want to have. And then, like I said, it cheers the comrades. Because you're going to have people that are going to be looking and seeing what's going on inside of this place. And when they see what's going on inside of this place, knowing the things that you have to go through and the things that you're facing and dealing with, they're going to look at that and say, "Well, if God can help them, maybe He can help me. If God can do something for them and help them, maybe, just maybe, He can do something to help me." But it's going to take commitment. See, all the things that people are concentrated on as being wrong with the church is just a way of them trying to justify not being here. That's all it is. People say, "Well, y'all are just so judgmental." No, we're not. Well, I can't say y'all. I can't speak for y'all. I can only speak for me because I only have control of what I do. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not being judgmental. You know why people get so upset at things that we do in this church and why people get upset at things that I say from this pulpit? It's not because I'm judging them. It's because they've already judged themselves that what they're doing is wrong. And when I put the salt on the already open wound, it just makes them mad. So they've got to find somebody to lash out at. So who are they going to lash out at? The one with the salt shaker. But the Bible says, now listen, you know me. If it ain't in here, it ain't coming out of my mouth. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the world. Amen. And if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So because somebody's got an open wound of sin in their life, and the preacher step in, or a Christian step in, and put that salt on there, it's going to burn them. And they're going to say, quit judging me. I'm not judging you. That judged you. You judged yourself and knew you were wrong, and that just put salt on it. So you've got to find somebody to lash out at. I didn't judge them. That judged them. I can look at them and say, you're wrong. Quit judging me. I'm not. That's judging you. I'm just telling you you're wrong because you go against this. Well, no, you're judging me. No, you've judged yourself, and you know you're wrong. So you're getting hostile about it. Easy. Don't get bent out of shape. You ain't got to be all up in arms, ready to fight, you know. Come on. But you know what I can't do? I can't condemn them. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm not here to condemn them. It's like I told you a couple of weeks ago. You remember what I told you a couple of weeks ago? I told you, I said, conviction is what draws people to God. Condemnation is what repels people from you. Because if you are given what God wants given and it brings conviction, the people through you are drawn to Him. But if it's condemnation, then instead of people being drawn to Him, they're going to be repelled from you. It ain't Him, it's you. Because condemnation is not what He came into this world to do. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the dispensation we're still in. Now the condemnation is going to come because light come into the world and men rejected the light. And there's going to come a day when that light is no longer going to shine in this world, and it's going to be withdrawn, and men are going to be in outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But until then, this church is here for a reason and for a season. And that reason and that season is sometimes to cheer the comrades. Because if God can do something for us, just maybe God will do something for them. There's a lot that they can look at and say is wrong with the church. Yes, we're all faulty. I like what somebody's got. I think it might be Miss Audrey on the front of her car. There's a tag and it says, I'm not perfect, I'm just forgiven. I don't know if Miss Audrey or somebody, but somebody's got a tag on the front of their vehicle, and I see it all the time, and it says, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Matt Norris, I know, has got one. That's one of them, that old blue Jeep he used to drive. But listen, there ain't nothing perfect about any one of us except the one that lives inside of us, but that don't make this flesh perfect. But the thing is people still need to be able to look in this church. And though, yes, you're going to look in here, and if you look long enough, you're going to find something wrong. Say, well, I ain't going over there. There's too many hypocrites in the church. Well, you come, and there'll be another pea in the pod. So, you know, come on. Say, I'm not a hypocrite. Well, you know, go and sin no more then. Okay. I'm not a hypocrite. Yeah, well, you're just as messed up as a soup sandwich. You just don't even realize the kind of flop you're fixing to be in. Amen. That's right. Let me tell you something. If you can find a church where there ain't no hypocrites and you start going there, there'll be a hypocrite in that church. Amen. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, this church is here for a reason, and God set it up for a reason. Why? Not just because of what's wrong with it, because there's lots of things that's right with it. And God can bless it if we'll just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. And be glad that we can love Him, and He loves us, and He loves the church because we're a part of it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord. I felt such liberty here this evening. And Lord, I pray now that you would just help us to remember what we've heard and take it and apply it into our heart, and may it find a resting place so that we may do the best that we can to try to make sure we keep our focus upon you, that we make sure that we try to keep the sin in our lives at bay and keep it down and constricted. We can't eradicate it, not as long as we're in this life. But we pray that you'd help us to bear one another's burdens and carry each other's concerns. Lord, to remember that what we do out here is going to define who we are. And Father, I pray that through all things that we have to endure, help us, Lord, to be cheerful and help and encouraging to those that need us. And Father, we thank you for this place that we've been given to come, and pray that you help your people this week and touch them through this week. Lord, I sure am going to miss them, and I sure thank you for letting us be here together one more time. And Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, we will set foot back in here one more time by the end of the year. But Lord, we just want you to know that we sure do love you. And thank you for the year you've given us. I hope it's been a blessing to you as much as it's been one to us. And we look forward to what you're going to do in the upcoming year. May we have a clearer view of heaven than we've ever had. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.